5, as we continue our study on the Holy Spirit, this sermon, and then we will probably close out next week, because this one subject is just a little too much to fit into one sermon, especially the latter half. Because there's amongst good, godly, sound, grace men, there's a lot of differences in what they believe about this. I don't find it as difficult as they do, but in Ephesians 5, I'm going to read verses 9 through 28 for context. Because I think the context really helps us with the particular verse. Ephesians 5, 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord." And we'll finish there, verse 19. There in verse, tonight we're going to deal with, really when I look at this, I see two major questions. One is what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And secondly, which is a more difficult question, how to be filled with the Spirit, especially when you find that we are the passive receiver. To be filled means that God is the acting agent. And so how are we filled with the Spirit? Tonight, first of all, I want to say quickly what it does not mean to be filled with the Spirit. What it does not mean to be filled with the Spirit. It is not talking about salvation. It is not talking about being indwelt with the Spirit or saved by the Spirit. That is another issue altogether. Well, how do you know that? Well, I could go all over the Bible tonight, but Peter was filled with the Spirit on Pentecost. He was again filled with the Spirit later. And so we believe Peter was certainly indwelt and saved by the Spirit. Plus, he here in the text here, he says, "Arise, awake from the dead, thou that sleepest." And so that's talking about regeneration. Don't walk as fools, walk as wise. Know what the will of God is. What is the will of God? Be filled with the Spirit. So those who have already been regenerated by the Spirit are commanded to be filled by the Holy Spirit. So this is not something that happens at conversion. It is not the baptism of the Spirit. Because the baptism of the Spirit, we covered that. That's towards the institution of the church. And it's not some kind of second blessing of the Spirit where people will receive sinless perfection or these things. Well, but I will say this, but it is something that believers can experience or not experience. It's something that believers either are filled with the Spirit or they're not filled with the Spirit. It is something that, and in the language, it really, you could interpret it, be being filled with the Spirit. So it's not something that happens one time. Peter was filled on Pentecost, but then Peter was filled again, as we'll notice some verses here in a little bit. Well, really, it comes down to two things. What does it mean? First of all, number one, it is to be empowered by the Spirit to witness or to preach the gospel. It is empowered by the Spirit to witness or to preach the gospel. Some could say it, in some ways it's like the anointing of the Spirit. It is, but this is a New Testament language. Let us look here, if you will, look with me in the book of Acts, chapter 4. A.W. Tozer called it holy boldness. Holy boldness. Now, I will, Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, let it be known unto all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here, wherefore hold. He was being called out, he was being questioned, filled with the Holy Spirit. He gave them holy boldness as to what was going on. Look with down with me to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. It's to preach with boldness, but it is to be effective in preaching. There is something about the power of the Holy Spirit is for our preaching to be empowered by the Spirit in a way that's just not typical or normal or fleshly, and we'll deal with it on how to be, but I can give you one example right now, and you know, one of the reasons why so many disagree with it is we have so few verses that actually use the word filled with the Spirit, so I'm trying to limit it to those, but it kind of bleeds into other thoughts. But throughout history, if you look at the great men of God, you look at Spurgeon or Moody. Oh, Moody denied that there was a filling of the Holy Spirit that was extra. And he used to have these boys' clubs where I've told you about it, where he wouldn't even preach. He would come in, he would bring all these kids, and they would start a club. Then they said, well, why don't you teach, Moody? And he couldn't teach. They said, no, you just bring them, we'll teach. You just bring them, we'll teach. And then one day he said, I think the Lord's calling me to preach. And the Lord keeps telling me that he's calling me to preach. And he tried to preach. And he said, Moody, forget that. Just stop that. And two old ladies in his church came up to him and said, we're praying that you'll get filled with the Holy Ghost to preach. And he said, man, don't do that. Don't do that. And he said he went over. He used to visit them all the time to bring them food. Two widows that lived together. And one day they said, can we sit here and pray with you? And they said that I'm not being sensational. I'm recording to you history of a man who was not a charismatic. He said those two old ladies preached with him with the Holy Spirit, that he would have the Holy Spirit to be enabled to preach. And they had to, he said something happened to him that he doesn't understand to this day when he said it many years later. But men had to come and carry him out of there. And the next day he started preaching and went the greatest revival, one of the greatest revivalists in American soil. He preached with holy boldness everywhere he went. And Spurgeon said if there was ever a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit to preach, it was Moody. There's just a holy boldness that comes upon men that you know. I can't explain it. That's why we're getting in waters here. But these men were filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, "Way here to be endued with power." The Apostle Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit and preached. And we'll see some of that here in a little bit. But secondly, and there's just a lot to that. Some may say that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yes, but it's also called the filling of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Many of the theologians say that Luke used the filling of the Holy Spirit different than the Apostle Paul. But I'll say this. John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1 was filled with the Holy Spirit to be a prophet from the day from his birth. And what was John the Baptist? He was a preacher, prophet, who came in the power of the Holy Spirit, and no one has ever had the crowds in Israel to this day that John the Baptist had. So is there a holy boldness to it? Yeah, I believe that there is. And we'll talk next week more about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But here's the one thing that I think jumps off the page, especially in Paul's letters, and that we can definitely show in more detail. It's to be empowered to experience the joy of the Lord. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be empowered. It's, in a sense, the ability to experience emotionally the communicable attributes of God. Now, what are the communicable attributes of God? I know I'm mispronouncing that. There are those that God cannot communicate to man. I mean, God's omnipresent. He can't communicate that to man. We can't be omnipresent. We can be holy. We can be loving. We can be joyful. Okay? Those that have an experience of joy that are dealt, the Holy Spirit can cause us to have a greater joy and glory in the things of the Lord when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at our text, and then we'll use some other texts. Wherefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. We'll deal with that in a minute. But be filled with the Spirit. And what is the product of being filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and you'll speak in songs and hymns. It's talking about having a joy. Now, before we get to some other things, we've got to deal with the contrast to being drunk here. Why is he using the contrast of being drunk to being filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, I learned a little bit this week on this myself, or hadn't thought of this before. Now, this first part I always kind of knew and just kind of left it at that. But wine controls our actions and our emotions and our attitude. You know, don't be controlled by the Spirit, by wine, but be controlled by the Spirit. But why do people drink? I mean, even, I can prove it scripturally, but why do most people drink? To feel happy, to wash away the sorrow, to numb the stress. How many people I've heard through the years that something tragic happened in their life and say, I just couldn't handle it. I crawled in a whiskey bottle and I've been there for all these many years. Or some people can't have a good time without it. Matter of fact, there's a country music song, I can't think of it off the thing, that he can't sing unless he's drunk because he's got no joy. 1 Chronicles 12:40 says, "Abundant wine." There was abundant wine, and therefore there was joy. Proverbs. I forgot to write it down, but the verse down, chapter down. But it says, "Wine unto those that be heavy in heart." Whatever emotions of joy and happiness that you can experience by drunkenness, the Holy Spirit is far better. You don't have to be drunk with wine to be happy. Be filled with the Spirit. You don't have to be drunk with wine to deal with the stress of life. We make jokes about it all the time. Even us who don't drink, we're like, oh my goodness, that child's going to drive me to drinking. You know, or oh my goodness, his job is going to cause me to pick it. I mean, what do? We talk about the stress. Hey, whatever stress life gives you, there's a better coping mechanism to deal with the stress of life and the trauma of life than alcohol or any other kind of substance. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the joy of the Lord, of being filled with the Holy Spirit, doesn't come with a hangover. It doesn't come with regret the next day. It doesn't come with all the issues that the others come with. It is feeling radical joy. Think about it. A lot of people, and as I read this again, this is one of these that's it's kind of ambiguous to say. I mean, you know, we've just got a few things on this filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want you to think about this one thought that I read about. When you were first saved, remember the joy you had just in being saved? Remember the joy you had in just telling people? You know? And in conversion, they talk about in the book of Acts, have you received the Holy Spirit? And it's not talking about just grace gifts. You know, that fullness of joy. Have you ever left a worship service just feeling so close to God? I know that going up, I ran groups or directed a church camp with many churches that would come for many years. We had, you know, probably 10 years of that and 200 or 300 and stuff. And every year was the same old thing of people saying, you know, I just, all year long, I just can't wait to get back to this mountain because I just feel so close to the, by the end of the week, I feel so close to the Lord. And I said, look, there's nothing magical about this place. But let me tell you what this place doesn't have. Constant television and news. You're not hearing all the things. You're not allowed computers and games and all this other stuff. There ain't no cell phone signal, so you can't be on Facebook 24/7. So we're out there. So your smartphone don't work. And what do we do? We get up in the morning, we have breakfast, and then we have Bible study. Then we have Christian fellowship, and then in the afternoon after lunch, what do we have? Bible study. Then we have more games and fun and supper, and what comes after supper? Preaching. You got the word all day, you got singing all day, you got Christian fellowship all day, and God had moved. What you're experiencing is just a time of dedication in the Lord. You can have that all the time. Man, I feel like I can go. And so many people say, man, I go out and I'm witnessing to everybody at work and I'm talking to everybody. I'm so happy and everything. It just seems to grind back down. I don't know if they're filled with the Holy Spirit or not, but it sure sounds to me a whole lot like this. There's a joy in the Lord, and people are able to deal with their difficulties and their problems and what was breaking their heart at the beginning of the week. Now they have courage and boldness to go take care of it and think. Why? Because I believe that that's, hey, one way of being filled with the Holy Spirit is you can't be filled with the Spirit if you're full of yourself. Now, that sermon's just going to be too long for me to get, but some of it I'm going to give you. You can't be filled with, the only thing the Lord can't fill in this life, now he can, but the only thing he won't fill is somebody that's already full of themselves and full of the flesh. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 13. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to experience emotionally the graces that God has already given to you. It's accessing it. In some sense, there's a spirit of sonship that I think of. He's my Father and a sonship, you know, the spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and so forth. But we rejoice in the things of the Lord. You know, I think, was it Grant that posted it? Somebody posted it this week. And I've just seen it when true revival breaks out in churches. You know, the problem with the early church wasn't getting people to come. It was get people to go home. That was the problem. They won't go home. How are we going to feed this group? And so some rich men stood up and gave all that they had. If you're filled with the flesh, you're filled with your own desires, you're filled with your own, but you're rejoicing in the things of the Lord when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Here in Acts 13, we have this narrative of Paul preaching. And we pick it up they had already tried to run him off. And it said that he spoke with them in boldness and preached to them and different things. But then the next day, in verse 44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So they had revival, but they had opposition. The two always go hand in hand. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Right there is election. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. They got run out of town. But they shook off the dust off their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They had preached the word of God. Souls were converted. They were persecuted. Now, the word persecution has a little pain involved. I mean, it didn't explicitly say they were beaten, but it implies that there was some physical problems there. Point is that they got run out of town. People were saved. They're being persecuted. But they prayed and they were filled with joy in the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, you could render it joy in the Holy Ghost if you wanted to. Some of the newer versions do that. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and joy. In the midst of everything, why? You know, we get so joy just knocks. We lose our joy and our happiness over things that don't really matter to a hill of beans in a lot of ways. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got joy in the midst of persecution. Why? Because the gospel is being preached. People are saved. You're not rejoicing. They didn't have homes. These men didn't have homes. I repeat myself. These men didn't have homes that to call their own. These men lived in poverty. These men went from one town to another town preaching the gospel and just living on whatever provisions the people gave them by the word of the Lord. Sometimes they worked when they needed to. In some regions they worked, some regions they didn't. But the point was, is God always provided them the opportunity. Paul was beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead, all these things. And he writes the prison epistle of Philippians and Ephesians about joy and the Holy Spirit. And joy and the filling of the Holy Spirit come together. There's two evidences that run throughout the New Testament of those that are under the power of the Holy Spirit. Number one, effectiveness in their witnessing or their preaching. People, when the Holy Spirit is energized. Now, I'm going to say this. A lot of people, a lot of sovereign gracers, they just say, oh, that ain't true, that ain't true, that ain't true, that ain't true. Charles Spurgeon sure believed it. Charles Spurgeon saw people converted. Let me say this. There's something that Tozer, Spurgeon, Moody, and Paul Washer all have in common. Those who teach you that you don't have to beg and plead and even go through days and weeks of isolated crying out for the power of the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the Holy Spirit to preach have never been filled with the Holy Spirit to preach. And their ministries are manifest in that. Oh, well, God's just going to say, hey, God uses different instruments he has chosen for us to desire. It says they shook the dust off their feet, that they prayed, and we can find throughout the Bible. They prayed, and they had the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. So we have the, you have to desire it. As Washer said, those that say that you don't have to beg for it, don't know anything about it. Let me tell you. I got a couple minutes. It was a pastor in Virginia who pastored about 200 or 300 people for about 10 years. And now I don't agree with all of his doctrine, but Jack Hiles had the largest church in the world, Independent Baptist, closed communion. I mean, not quite where we're at on grace, but in the world at that time. He was using the Chicago bus system to bring them in. And that little pastor from Virginia came to him and said, I need to know how you grow a church. He said, I can't show you how to grow a church. I don't know how to grow a church. And he said, I've been there for 10 years and I've got 200 or 300 members. He said, I need you. He said, you want to know what it takes? Now this is, he said, yeah, I want to know what it takes. He said, then call your church and tell me you ain't going to be there for a month. I can't do that to fire me. Then you don't have what it takes. That man did that. He followed him for a month, and he said every city he went to, he preached somewhere every night, but he pastored a church. He was always back at his church. He said he would literally cry in the morning, give me, just like the prayer of John Knox, who was the reformer that took Scotland, give me Portland or I die. Lord, if you give me Portland or I die, the next night, give me Dallas or I die, and cry and beg for the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, getting up every morning and praying and crying for the power of the Holy Spirit for 3-4 hours at a time, that man went back to his church. They gave him a sabbatical. And his 300-member congregation went from 300 to 4,000 in 1 year. And you probably know him. His name is Jerry Falwell. God pours out. You don't have to be a Jerry Falwell or Paul Washer or Spurgeon to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul told each member at the church of Ephesus, be filled with the Spirit. Now, God, what God does with that is his business. How God blesses that is his business. But Peter got up and was filled with the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 were saved on Pentecost. And then the next day, it says he got up and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and 5,000 were saved, plus the women and children. And then Paul, go back in chapter 13, at the beginning of chapter 13, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then a whole city was converted to Christ. You can go into a city and be filled with the Holy Spirit, and no one be saved. They can run you out of town. They can persecute you. But you know what you will have? You'll have lasting joy. Can God still do it? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means to be filled with the power of God. To not walk in the flesh. To be able to speak the words of God with the authority of the Holy Spirit. And to experience joy. And you know what? Next week we'll find out how do I put my... I can't just do 1, 2, 3 and then I'm filled with the Spirit. But I can put myself in a position to be filled with the Spirit. And that is different for every person and everyone. And how God uses that. Yeah, I'm using preacher examples. How many? One thing I heard about Tozer was preaching, and he said in his sermon, he said he was preaching to several thousand preachers, and he said, some of y'all ain't going to believe this, and therefore you've never been filled with the Spirit, because you don't get there on accident. If Paul gives you a command to do it, there must be a purposeful action to put yourself in the place to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with... How many commands in the Bible do we have without an understanding that we can follow that command or not follow that command? We can receive that blessing or not receive that blessing? Well, this one is no different, especially when it's filled through the New Testament. And I do think the word